in light of what we've been through in recent months with the building and the tree lighting, Dory's pregnancy, my little hiccup by the enemy, Lord has really just laid on my heart this week about going back to basics for all of us. And it's good that we visit from time to time our foundations and look at those things and see where we're at, see where we're progressing, how we're progressing, and see if we're still falling in line with what God is calling into our lives. This means that we have to really have a purpose in looking at these foundations of our faith. And it is the purpose is to assess where we are presently, recognize areas of weakness, and strengthen those areas to an ever-increasing faith, the ability of not only to live for Christ, but to live as Christ. And I think what happens with a lot of us, we look at to live for Christ and to live as Christ as unattainable. The fact of the matter is, God has given us everything that pertains to life, and it is found in Jesus Christ. It is your responsibility and mine to find it, to dig it out, and make it our own. Okay? And when we look at living for Christ, a lot of us think that living for Christ is so hard. And it might be in some cases. I don't want to minimize what you're going through or what your experience is. But I'm here to tell you that where you are today, you're not going to be at that same place as you were last year. And from this side, I can look at you guys and see how each and every one of you are growing. And it just blesses my heart that, you know, I'm not comparing you to someone else. I'm comparing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the standard that we're to adhere to. And when we compare ourselves one to another, what we do is we actually put somebody down to elevate ourselves. And we call ourselves mature, or we're more spiritual than whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is that we need to compare ourselves to Jesus. He's the only one. He's the one that died for us. He's the one who has redeemed us. And He is the one who has called us sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? So, in saying all that, I used to do this all the time. I used to give the alphabet. And I'm going to give the alphabet with A today. And there's three things in the alphabet that we need to understand, is that in basics, when we look at ourselves, it is to assess what we're doing. It is to accumulate and then activate those areas in our lives. And some of these things is that when I talk about assessing one's faith, I simply mean, have I personally placed a value on my salvation? Or am I waiting for somebody else to place that value on there? Because does my life have value because of what somebody else says? Or does my life have something because of what the Lord has said? And that's real important, because a lot of us want to be people pleasers, and it's okay from time to time to please people, but our whole life should be pleasing to God. We were created for His good pleasure, and we should please Him. We should be doing that which pleases Him, not someone else. Amen? And when that happens, we're going to ruffle other people's feathers. I used to have guys tell me when I first got saved, Gary, I liked you better the other way. And I would say to them, I like who I am now. And the reason for it is, I don't have to please you. I don't have to be something that I'm not. I can learn to be who I was created by my Father to be. And so I began to live my life as such. And because of it, my wife is a benefactor of it, because I've learned to serve her, how to put her first, how to put my children first, how to put everything else in proper perspective by service and learning how to mature as a man of God, or learn to grow into a man of God, but learning first that that most of the people, most of the men in the church are boys. They really have no concept as to what God is calling into their lives, let alone how to implement those things. And it has nothing to do with how much Bible knowledge that you have. It has everything to do with basics. What you believe Jesus said, for him who believes, all things are possible. Amen? You may not be where you want to be, but it is your responsibility to get there. God will help you get to where he wants you to be, no matter what. And then, Jen, I want to go back and say, you know, you're waiting for that confirmation. That's quite all right. God has no problem about confirming to you his desire for you to go to mission field. He has no problem with that. As a matter of fact, it brings him quite joy. The questions that we need to ask is, when? And will you supply the money? How will you supply the money? That's really the key. I believe he's already spoken to you about going. It's now when, timing, and how much, the cost. And it's his job to make it happen. But we have a responsibility to do things in order to make these things happen to his glory. Amen? So let's look at assessing ourselves. Turn to Colossians 1. And this is something that the church is going to do in the leaders' meeting, is we're going to assess this ministry. We've been through quite a lot, especially this year, and we really want to assess some of the things that we did, put some things on a back burner that may have not been where God wants us to be at the moment, and then begin to realistically look at these things. In Colossians 1, verse 22, it says, but now we have reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in the faith, established and firm, not moved by the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. To continue in the faith means, are you working out your salvation in fear and trembling? It doesn't mean that I continue in the faith on Sunday because I can show how religious I am before pastor. And I can really impress him about what's going on. What Paul is talking about here in assessing our lifestyles is my walk a daily walk? Am I continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of him who purchased me? And I can't answer it for you. I can only answer for myself. But the question is, have I truly placed the value of what my salvation is, and do I prize it above everything and everyone else to keep it? And this is where really, you know, the rubber meets the road, because people say, well, you know, I have a responsibility to my kids. I have this for my job. I have that. And a lot of times what we do is we allow all these forces outside to crowd us, and therefore we conform ourselves to what they want, not what God wants. God's desire for us is not to be like the world. He doesn't want us to be friends with the world, because being a friend with the world is to be an enemy of God. Amen. So it's quite, you know, there's this I can't think of the word. I'll use that one. There is a dichotomy of what we expect that the world wants, so we can still be friendly with the world, and then yet there is an opposing view that God says, I want you to be like me. I want you to be like this. And that doesn't mean that we become holier than now. What it means is that our standards have changed. Inwardly, I have a system that will not allow me to seek out corruption, be involved in corruption, and seek to maintain this holy character that he has given to me. It is his character that we're carrying around in here. And sometimes we don't understand what that looks like, or do we really pay attention to it. But each and every day, I am a representative of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And I am a king, and I am an ambassador to that environment. So I want to encourage you to assess your lives. Take the time this year to assess You know, what is it that God has called into your life? Are you walking in it? If you're not, we know the key. Repent. Get it under the blood and then implement it. There are things that we need to do in order to look at where we're going. We went to DNA, and one of the things that they said was, how do you measure the goal? How do you declare what the goal is? You know, what is the mark? You know, what are you shooting for? If you don't have a goal and you're not assessing to where you are in attaining that goal, you don't know if you made it, missed it. All you know is that you're out there. And for us as Christians, we have to be able to assess realistically, and I'm not talking about a pie in the sky type of thing. I want to read 300 books on the Bible this week. That's not going to happen unless you've taken Evelyn Wood's speed reading course to do that. But you know what? In some cases, you may say, you know what? I'm not in the Word. I'm not spending that time. Well, then what you need to do is figure out how to get into the Word and crowd out that stuff that is crowding the Word out of you. Because we're leaky vessels. We need the Word to come into us. And I'm not saying it just for you. I'm saying it for myself because these last 3 months, I've had to reassess where I'm at and make some subtle changes, some lifestyle changes, so that I can start taking care of myself better, so that I can serve you better. And that's really what this is about. I want to be pleasing to God in my service to you, so that I can be living as Christ, not living for Christ. And that's really what brings all this together. 2 Peter 1, starting with verse 3, says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. We have to understand that our flesh does not want to do what God wants to do. And to live as Christ is to partake in the divine nature. And we should all know what the divine nature is. We should all know what Galatians 5:25 tells us what that divine nature looks like. As I continue on, for this reason, starting in verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Part of this assessment process is seeing what your strengths and weaknesses are. What is it that the Holy Spirit has done for you and done in you to produce these things? And are these things being added to you? Or are you resistive to the situations that you find yourself in because you don't want God to produce the things that He wants to produce and you think better than He does? And all of us, let's be serious, all of us think that we know we have a handle on our lives. We know that we can handle it. God, I got this one. And we make a mess out of everything that He's given to us. Why? Because we haven't included Him in it. He's the one that wants to lead us. He's the one that wants to teach us. He's the one that is the example for us. For us, ourselves. We can't make someone else into something that they don't want to be. We're going to stand before Him and give an account. And so we should be all right with that process. We should be all right in understanding that the Holy Spirit wants to produce these things. Nothing in my fleshly effort will produce godly character. We know that the payment for working in the flesh is death. Everything that we try to do, we try to put airs on, we try to be good, we try to be kind, we try to do the... You know what? If the Holy Spirit hasn't produced this in your life, you trying is only producing death. And that's hypocrisy. It either is going to flow out of you, or you need God to produce it in you so He can flow out of you. And I look at my wife, and she has a lot of these great qualities that I thank God that He's brought two to become one, so that she can do that. We have learned through the years that my job is to be a burden bearer while she's a blessing bearer. And part of her blessing is she's able to show forth this brotherly love, this kindness, this thing that is really great. And what she does with me is says, you know, the Lord's showing me this, Gary. What do you think? And I'll go and I'll pray about it and I'll say, you know what, Irene? God is showing me. It's really against my flesh. We shouldn't be doing it. But because God said, God's doing this, my flesh doesn't want to do the things that God wants done. We're going to do it. Why? Because my flesh produces death. And what we're trying to do is produce life in someone else's life. To be a blessing is to produce life in their life, not in ours. And the only way that I know that this happens is when we submit ourselves to the will of God. So, are we doing the will of God? Are we growing in the will of God? Are we growing in His knowledge? Or are we just growing in Bible knowledge and we're not experiencing the reality of this life? All part of the assessment. Next is the accumulation. Once we've assessed our lives, see where we're at, see what we've accumulated, let's be really honest with each other. God and ourselves. Where have we gotten stuck at? What has caused us not to proceed further in this growth and in this knowledge to produce Jesus Christ out of us? All of us get stuck at some place in our lives. Is it because someone has said something to us? Is it because someone has done something to us? Is it because the way God wanted to work an environment out in our lives and it produced some things, we have been resistive to that? All of this affects what we have become. And because it affects who we become, what happens is we don't maintain a place where we're at. We fall into atrophy. We slowly digress back to what we were, and our spirits are then encapsulated. There's not this freedom of our spirit to love one another as God wants us to love. We hold back. We don't share. And I'm not saying that we share everything and we let our lives out there. What I'm saying, to be discreet in sharing with people who do love us and who do want the best for us and who will pray for us and give us the advice that we need. I'm saying this because all of us need to be accountable one to another. All of us need somebody that we need to submit our lives to, not just our spouses. We need to have a spiritual father, mother. That was the whole purpose of spiritual mothers and all, to sit down and share what's going on in your heart. People who are resistive to that actually retard the growing process, the maturation process of their spirits, and they should be rebuked in a gentle way, rebuked in such a way that we need to point out to them, show them that, you know what, they're not taking over your mother and your father's position, but what they can do is help take that experience that you've gone through and help you come to understand how God's going to use that for your betterment. And we've had it through the years. We've helped people gain an understanding as to why they've had to go through this. And they are the better for it. And we are the most proud spiritual parents, because we see that all of a sudden it was like this chain got broken and they were set free. And that's what whole ministry of the church is supposed to be, setting the captives free. And it starts with the way we think. What have we done? Have we hidden our talents? Have we not used our gifting? Are we aware of these gifts? Are we aware of the talents that God has given to us? Are we burying them? Are we afraid? Is the character of Jesus Christ being in us? What is the character that God has put into us that we can see? What is it that you want God to produce in your life? It's okay to say to God, you know what? I'm hard-nosed and I need to be more compliant, God. Whatever it takes. And be okay with when he throws us into tough situations, which he will, to break us so that we conform to his will and the image of his son. Amen? So we want to be able to look at this in a mature way, but also look at it, am I becoming more like Jesus Christ? Am I becoming more Christ-like? And am I doing the things that Jesus did? That is the goal of what we have. Then finally is the activation. We've done our assessment. We've seen what this year has brought. We've looked at what we've accumulated and what's part of our lives and what has stuck to us. And now how do we activate? And it's real simple. You got to have a plan. Okay? You may say, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, let me tell you. Here's my coming plan for my life. I have ministry goals. I have a personal goal, which deals with certain areas of my life. And then other personal goals, immediate personal goals as to where I want to be. Okay? Now, your goal setting has to be reasonable. It can't be pie in the sky. And it has to be attainable. But also, it has to be measurable. How do you know that you attained this goal? How do you know? Well, I know because I have this list, this goal in front of me. And every time that I've been successful, and this is part of the things that's been accomplished, I scratch it off. And I don't scratch it off just to forget about it. I scratch it off because it's part of me now. It's part of my life. I become more disciplined in my life, my prayer life, or my study of Scripture, or things that really need to happen. It's not a New Year's resolution where you hear on television, oh, present your New Year's resolution. Well, by the end of January, you've forgotten what that resolution is, and you're not any better for it. This is a year-long process that I have, and I want to encourage you. If you don't have it, you know, you don't know where to start. It may be as simple as developing a budget, or it could be pie in the sky type of thing where Jen is going to go to the mission field, but she needs to ask the next questions. How much? When do you want me to go? You know, where am I going to go? Where is it, God? These are all good things. They're all measurable. And when we reach those goals, we're able to get those things accomplished. Now, when we're able to measure things and accomplish those things, they begin to start producing prosperity in our lives. Prosperity isn't something that happens tomorrow, because we planted the seed of prosperity today. Prosperity happens over time. And what happens is most people that come and meet me for the first time say, well, you got all this. You're really prosperous. Yeah, it's 30 years of walking with God. That's not just last week. And I'm prosperous because I'm obedient to what he's told me, and I do measure my success. Irene has her own personal goals that she has, and she writes them down. And I want to encourage you guys. If you don't have it and you want to know how it's done, sit down with us. We'll tell you. Sit down with whom you're discipling with. Maybe you've never thought about expanding this stuff. Maybe you thought, well, this is too far out there. It's not. It's realistic. It's life. It's where you want to go. Bible says man plans, but God brings it to pass. If you don't have a plan, you're in limbo. And that's not where you're going to find God. The Bible says God called order out of chaos. He wants to bring order into your life, and he wants to do this in a very simple way. And like I said, these plans have to be realistic. They have to be measurable, and they have to be attainable. You may be buried in debt. And the big thing is, write out in your budget what these debt lines are, how much interest you're paying on this, and begin to start paying them off. And as each one gets paid off, cross it off and cut that card up. Well, cut the card up before you get started, because that'll keep you from spending. But the object of the game here is not to live with so much debt, but really living a life that's pleasing to God. And what happens, especially in the Church of America, why people hate us so much, is that we have so much, and what we do is we pour it into our materialistic goods. We spoil our kids. We give them everything that they want. We buy stuff that we think we need, or the world says you need. And I really love the car commercials that are out there with these high-priced cars. You know, do you really need a Cadillac that goes 9,000 miles an hour? Yeah. The object here is to really look at your life in such a way, because God's looking at your life. He's looking at you, and He wants you to really get on the program. Well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not. It's not easy for me to say. I do it all the time, every year. I post this on my post board in there. I keep my vision in front of me. The Word says God's people perish for lack of vision. If you don't see where you're going, again, it's real easy. If you want to go to Maryland, how do you know you're going to get there? You get a map. All a map is a plan on a sheet. It tells you different routes to go. How you get there doesn't matter. As long as you get there and you go by the route that tells you, you know, it Kim and Ken, their finances are great. Their money's flowing over. You know, how they did it is how God told them to do it. My finances are poor. Guess what? I'm going to want to know how you did it. How I worked that plan out may be different than hers because my situation is different. But getting to that goal is still the same process. You understand? So we have to get back to basics. We have to plan this stuff. And when we have prosperity, what does that do? First of all, it creates a good self-image. You start feeling good about yourself. You may be wanting to do a job change. Well, if you don't get your resume updated and you don't do the things that you need to do and you're hoping that a job lands in your lap, you'll never get that job. You have to do the foundational work in order to proceed to get to where you want to go. That's just the way it is. If the job requires education, and Nick and I, we've talked, and she's gone and gotten additional education. It has improved her position. And these are things that she can add to her resume that makes her even more valuable to serve the people that she has to serve. And I'm not saying education is everything. What you learn here and what you do here, you can actually apply on your resume. Well, how do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you serve in one of these things to help us develop a budget or a worship team or whatever you're learning through that, or if your hospitality, the things that are in there, how to stay within a budget. These things that we need to do is to produce a good self-image. What happens is when we produce a good self-image, we become happy. Happiness is not a feeling. Happiness is a state of being. And we all want to be happy, but we think getting this stuff is going to make us happy. Being pleasing to this person is going to make us happy. What makes us happy is being prosperous in the things that God has told us to do. He is my joy. He is my happiness. Why? Because I'm doing it the way He wants it done. And I'm bringing joy to Him, and if He's happy, then I can be happy, and I can continue to do this stuff. I just want to exhort you that you know, as you purpose to do these things, wherever you're at individually, and this coming year, this month, what I'm going to do is just do a series on basics, just to remind us where we're at, how we take step by step by step. And then we'll enter into this transition, this apostolic transition that where we're going. It's not real hard, but what makes it hard is our disobedience. We don't want to do what God tells us to do. We don't want to spend the time. We don't want to do anything that would ruffle our friends' feathers, our wife, our husband, our kids. We want to have peace at all cost. You got the Prince of Peace dwelling within you. He paid the whole cost for you and for me. It's about time we did it His way. To be successful, to be prosperous, and most importantly, to be happy. Amen? Father, we just thank You for this time. We thank You that Your Word is so simple, God. You even help us connect the dots, Lord, and draw the lines in which we need to go. Father, I pray for streams. I pray for Your people in streams, God. That we no longer be juvenile in our thinking. We're envious because of the relationships that others have, Father. Because we can have that relationship with You anytime we're desirous. You are already desirous for that. God, as You bring in this new year and as we rejoice in that, I ask, Father, that we assess our lives, that we see what we've accumulated through the Holy Spirit, and we begin to activate situations by a plan, whether it's spiritual or financial or even just in basic areas, God, that You want us to be. And Holy Spirit, we surrender to You. You are our teacher. Jesus gave You to us. Help us to be mindful that You are ever waiting for an invite to take over our lives and to lead us into all ways of prosperity and joy. Help us, God, to see that this world is squeezing everything out of us, but You want to come out, Father, most importantly. Show us how to simplify our lives that makes us a friend of Yours, not a friend of the world. Help us to be compliant to the wishes that You want, God. But most importantly, God, may we be a God pleaser, a God chaser, and become the very image of God to these people that need to know You. I thank You, Lord, for Your people, for this year, for Your hand of protection upon us and Your provision in the coming year. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.